I'm joined by Chuck Siegman. Chuck has been a guest quite often for the Travelogue series, which has sort of evolved over the years. It was, I believe, what was it? It was the Kiwanis Club was basically, and they did a, I believe we had about West Burlington Auditorium for a while, and then you'd buy tickets for the show. And then all of a sudden, all of that changed a few years ago with the Harry and Virginia Murray Foundation. And that really has opened up a whole lot of these Travelogue shows for everyone, isn't it?
And it's free. It was a fundraiser, obviously, for the Kiwanis Club for 56 years, starting in 1956, 58. You know, before we had color television in,
right.
in the average home. So it was, you know, a real treat then. It's still a treat to visit these incredible locations around the world that we may or may not experience. So,
and it's been very tough on these filmmakers who have been, and everybody else. I know a lot of world travel in general has been a very complicated matter. If you've been able to do it at all,
well, it's basically been turned off. Now we're you know, creeping back into it. So it's this was filmed just prior to the outbreak of COVID. And actually, this presentation was to be made in April of 2020. And obviously, we canceled that program. So we're back with it. And the program is South Africa to Namibia. Namibia is a country in Southwest Africa that, you know, probably most of us haven't heard of.
Right.
You know, it's not on the front line of places to go or, you know, subjects of news. But incredible wildlife, deserts, diverse geographical areas. So.
And, you know, I think the other thing is wildlife, particularly African wildlife. Because of all of the, you know, Africa has been an entire continent that has been stricken by war and by all kinds of terrible things. Plus, you've got a lot of the wildlife there have been either penned up, destroyed, or any of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So the fact that you can find areas where you can literally see. As it was, perhaps, so to speak.
And the one unique thing about this film is the fact that the national park, the National Wildlife Park, which is huge in Namibia, is the only national park in all of Africa that you're permitted to fly a drone. And Rick Ray is one of the most accomplished drone photographers. So you're seeing footage that has never been possible before.
Right.
Because you can fly that drone into the herds of migrating animals. And it's it opens a whole new spectrum.
And it has, and you were telling me that you yourself have done some drone photography. And it takes a certain amount of skill to be able to do that, doesn't it?
It takes skill. I typically shoot still shots with it, try to position and do stills. The movies with drone, to do a good job, will expose your talent or lack of immediately. And Rick has done drone photography in Burlington. Whenever any location that he visits, he's taking motion pictures. And he's one of the major stock footage producers in the country. So that means that if you're doing a film on a given area, or if you're doing a film on the Burlington Northern Railway, you might be seeing footage of that train Amtrak coming across the bridge on the Mississippi River, which is a big thing to a lot of people. That could have very well been taken by Rick Ray and then just purchased. And there's Getty stock footage, Black Star years ago. was the major company for stock footage and still photos.
Now, is it, I know Rick Steves, we know that name, and he's got over 100 employees. And I believe, if I'm right, I think you told me that he's actually been paying all of those people during the pandemic.
He has kept his 100 employees on staff during this entire pandemic. I don't know what support he's had with the various government programs. I'm positive that it has certainly affected his net worth.
Yes, I'm sure. And as far as Rick Ray, does Rick Ray have an entire company, too, in terms of what he does?
He operates as a one-person company.
Wow.
his wife will accompany him on many of the tours, world tours. But he is a one-person cinematographer, director, producer. So that's...
He would be affected obviously by the fact that he can't be going to these places that he would have been going to, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Talk about current events. Colin Powell's death, I think, has us all stepping back again and saying, you know, hey, we may be vaccinated, but we may need to keep our protection up.
And to be fair with Colin Powell, he had blood cancer, which really did affect his ability to fight off anything.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he did. And so the fact is that everything that we have normally done, everything that had been planned to be done, has been put on hold. And it's a frustrating thing for I'm sure for Rick Ray, but a frustrating thing for other people that would love to be planned. I believe you had a world tour that was planned. Is that right?
I did have my grandson and I were taking a 5-week world tour. It got we were leaving 3 or 4 days after he graduated from college. That got shut off, and that will probably not take place again.
Yeah, it's very, very hard to. It's once a dream has been, sort of dashed by that, it's really hard to. It's hard to pick that one. But we are hopeful that, and I'm hopeful that 2022 will be a much better year for all of that.
Oh, I think so. And I know you had a major trip planned, and they all, they got scuttled. Down that same area, same subject, we added a 4 o'clock presentation of the Travelogue series,
right,
to thin out the crowd on each of the shows and make it safer for everyone. And generally, the protocol right now, I know at the symphony this weekend, was if you're up and moving around in the theater, please have your mask on. Once you're seated, then that's up to you. That's the protocol that I think
will be the very similar one for this. Yeah. And again, by having the three shows, you spread things out a bit more.
Right.
And obviously there's some distancing that's going to be involved in that. But again, the shows are at 1:30, at 4, and again at 7:30. So there's three different opportunities. Is there one that seems to be more popular than the other?
The evening, probably, but it's been a toss. We have a senior crowd.
Yeah.
And some of the folks like to go in the afternoon. They're not working, and they don't have to be out at night. It's spread out. The thinnest one would be our 4 o'clock show. And this, I'm hoping that for the next show, which takes place next month, which would be Scotland, to go back to two shows.
Okay.
That's basically it. The big thing with this show is it's taking us from Cape Town, South Africa, moving around Southwest Africa into Namibia, and then ending up in Victoria Falls, which is absolutely phenomenal.
And Victoria Falls is the world's largest. It's the world's largest waterfall, if I'm correct.
I think you're correct. There's one will will state they're the largest due to the volume of water, and the other by the length of the falls, and another by the height of the falls. But it's a spectacular falls. And I've seen the footage on that, and it's good.
Well, let's hope that travel can return. Let's hope that all of the other things that have been put on hold can happen soon. And again, Rick Ray, 1:30, 4 o'clock, 7:30, South Africa to Namibia. Enjoy the Travelogue series, courtesy of entirely by the Harry and Virginia Murray Foundation. Chuck Seekman, thank you so much for dropping by.
My pleasure.